Hello, hello. Welcome back to the Attention Recession Podcast. This is Jazz. I'm here with Nicola, as always.
Hello.
I'm currently exhausted from staying up late watching Lana Del Rey's Coachella live stream on YouTube.
Oh, okay. I was just watching
That's how
clips
old I
of it.
am now.
I was just watching clips and I was looking for like some kind of full. I was like, where's the full thing?
I don't know if they post the full thing afterwards. I think they might be kind of weird about that. That's why
Yeah.
it is fun to watch it live.
Ugh.
It was such a time, but yeah, staying up until like 1:30 to just like watch a live stream and be like, wow, I'm exhausted. I've got to get to bed. I'm like, the way I've aged in the last like 2 years, I don't know. It's funny.
Yeah. Have you been to Coachella before?
Like many times. This
Really?
So I started going. I went every year from like 21 to like 2 years ago. I don't know. I was kind of trying to explain to my boyfriend, like, when you grow up in California, the way that Coachella is like something you like look forward to your whole life, kind of.
Yeah.
Or like the way that like media portrays it, I don't know. There's just like this, it's such a California thing. And there's so many, and he was like, oh yeah, I had like just learned about Coachella like 2 years ago when I moved here. I remember like the first year I went, I think I was like a junior in college, and it was just like, mama, I made it. Like, and
Even
it's,
living in
yeah.
LA, Coachella is like, it's like a holiday, kind of. Like,
Yes.
it is treated like a season on the calendar, like kind of like,
Yeah.
because LA doesn't have seasons or whatever, but like Coachella is like a season. It's like desert
Yes.
weekend or the 2 weekends of the desert, whatever. Yeah, I
Yeah.
went twice, sort of. The one time I went like just quote for the parties or whatever. My
Yeah.
friend was hosting like a house there for her brand and like doing 1 day of events. I was the bartender. And
Amazing.
then we went the next day, we went to like a bunch of different, because there's like a whole cottage industry of parties outside of Coachella. You don't even need
Yes.
to go to Coachella to have like a full-blown party weekend. So we went to a bunch of different,
Yeah.
like basically brand activations
Yes.
at these like glorious homes throughout the desert. And I love Palm Springs so much. So like I just love being out there.
Yeah,
So
me
that was an
too.
interesting one. And then I went 1 year, I went as like press, and that was a weird experience. So I actually went to the festival
What was that
with like
like
an
as press?
artist pass and
What year was that?
everything. I feel like 28, it was like maybe 2018 or something,
That's
but
so
it was,
cute. We were at the same festival. We didn't even know each
yeah.
other.
It was a weird experience though, because it's like I wasn't there like with friends. Like I was there like essentially like by myself. Like I made
Yeah.
like friends of other people who were there like on the press trip with me, kind of. But then I sort of was like, I kind of like left. I like didn't really like being there. And then,
Yeah,
yeah, I.
it's interesting because like Artist Pass is like a big thing now. Like they're now much more available. Like a lot of people have Artist Passes now, so they have created a tier above Artist Pass now.
Yeah.
And it's so funny, but yeah, like in 2018, that was like all access. Like what was that like for you?
I'm like trying to remember, 'cause like I'm like trying to remember like what we did, because I'd been to a couple of music festivals like as press and gotten like the pass. The best one was is it Lollapalooza? Is that the one in Chicago? That was awesome because they had just like great, like the backs, like the whatever cornered off areas, like had like free bars. And like, I guess I was young enough too that like that really impressed me
Oh, of
at the
course.
time. And they had like seating areas and it was like much more comfortable, because I did go to some festivals when I was young, and you definitely just, at least for me, like I burnt out on the physical discomfort of being at a festival and very much was like, yeah, the only way I'm going is if someone's gonna like treat me to this and like put me up nicely. But I don't really remember at Coachella like all I really remember was being like in the midst of all of it with all the like different structures and the people taking photos and just being like, this is not for me.
Yeah, I mean, it's such a different experience, I feel like, to be on that press side versus like you're with your friends, you're picking out like fun outfits, you're pre-gaming,
yeah,
you're like getting
exactly.
excited. That is like half the fun, like quite literally 50% of the fun is that like hype up experience and getting dressed up. And yeah, and it's so funny, like when I went in 2022, I posted a TikTok that ended up going viral about what it is actually like to be at Coachella, because this was the first year that there was TikTok and like Reels, I guess, with Coachella, because it hadn't existed because of the pandemic before. And I ended up getting like quoted in so many like articles. I was looking back, I got interviewed by like BuzzFeed, by Cosmopolitan, and I completely like forgot about this until last night. But yeah, I was talking about like my experience the last time I went, and it was a nightmare. Like, first, someone was selling us artist passes like through a friend. That ended up being like a complete scam, probably. We got our money back, but like that just didn't happen. So we like bought a ticket off this random like dad we found on Facebook Marketplace and got general admission tickets, which we said we're like, we will not go unless it's like better, you know, better situations, because we're like, we're older, we're tired, we've done this. Like, we don't want to be, like, sardined into a festival. Like, that's my personal nightmare. And so, yeah, then we get in, we, like, watch one set, and it was so cold. We're like, and Harry Styles was that night, who I love dearly, and I was like, this isn't even worth it. I'm not staying for this. And then we tried to come back the second day. We were waiting in a car line for 2 hours trying to park. Yeah. And then eventually we're like, no, like, let's just leave. And so we ended up only being at Coachella Festival for like an hour and a half. And it was just like, so, yeah, there have been like the last couple years that I've gone, I was like, this is my last year. Like, this is just too much. And like, it's funny, people kind of like make fun of, I guess, kind of influencers who like only go to the parties. But I'm like, in some ways that is much easier, and it's like basically like Coachella. They have performers, they have like actual like free stuff. You don't have to spend like $25 on an alcoholic beverage or whatever.
Yeah
I don't know,
it is, yeah, the logistics of getting in and out of the festival with like the parking and the bus
nightmare.
And the like, it is really, that is really sucks, and it really like, it takes so long just to physically get in and out. And
yes,
I guess they just have not figured out a way. And it's crazy because it's in the middle of the desert, so it should be a little bit more like available, but it's just not. But yeah, then there's like the Revolve House is like,
I don't know if, did they do that this year, or maybe it's today.
Yes, because
it's today. Oh my god,
I keep getting,
I'm
texts
so excited.
Being like, I keep getting texts with my QR code for entrance, and I'm like, I did not RSVP. I'm not trying to go to the Revolve House, but I did go in the past, and it was a fucking trip, because this was like, actually I have a really funny story. This was,
I'd love to hear it.
Peak, I feel like this was like peak influencer era of like when Coachella really was turning away from being any kind of like counterculture, anything.
Yeah.
Like, and it just was purely like hot girl photographs. Like, I think this must have been 2016, 2017.
Oh, that was like peak time.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I remember Kylie and Jordan showed up together.
Wow.
And okay, there was like a photo booth at the Revolve House. And I was wearing like a white denim mini skirt and no underwear because I didn't have anything that like matched.
I'm screaming.
And it was one of those, oh my God. It was one of those like photo booths that I think was like where it like spins or like creates like a gift,
like
something.
Glambot energy.
Something like, it was some kind of like weird interactive photo booth. And I was like sitting on a chair with my knees together. But it's white denim skirt. So it's like a bit tented. So I look afterwards and like, you can see.
Oh my God.
So I had
literally
to,
showing crotch at the Kylie Jenner party.
I had to immediately go to the photo guy and be like, delete this, because they're all being uploaded to some kind of system where you can go download your photo, see everyone's photos and download your photos.
Screaming.
Get my vagina off of this. immediately.
Not wearing underwear to a festival that is notably 100-degree desert is the craziest decision I've ever heard.
I don't know what I'm not even I think it was really a matter of I was wearing white and I just did not I must have just, it must have been matter of desperation. I didn't have something packed, but that was fucking hilarious.
That is so funny.
And then they had Migos play, which is amazing. And amazing. It was so fun. And that was right when Migos was going from being a rap group to a pop group. And it was and there's a picture of me on World Star Hip Hop in the background.
Wait.
That was that was really pretty iconic. I screenshotted it and made a little red circle of myself. I was I got a World Star.
When we launch our inevitable meme page, we will be posting that image. So stay tuned.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I mean, it's just I don't know. There's a lot of discourse about is Coachella out? A lot of people that I know that were really ride or die Coachella did not go this year. And I don't know, even thinking about Revolve, I don't feel like Revolve is cool anymore. It mm-hmm. had its moment, and then there's a lot of controversy, a lot of maybe oversaturation. I don't know. I'm curious what your take is on that, especially having been many times. Yeah, I don't know. Do you think Coachella's out?
Well, it's actually is that all just media? I saw that on your note, but I was actually in my life, I was noticing the opposite, where I was a lot of people who I think the last couple of years would never have gone to Coachella because it's so swarmed with Coachella's a bitch, you know? And now I notice a bunch of people this year, kind of begging for tickets last minute or I noticed more interest and I was oh, is it because of Lana? People want to go for that, or is it post ironic, post fringe? I don't know. So I'm not sure, but
I mean, a lot of people, I don't know. I remember there was so many conversations happening the last couple years being influencers are ruining Coachella. And it's I don't what are they doing to you? You know, the worlds are so separate. You're in GA watching your favorite mosh pit band. They're at Revolve Fest. You guys are not going to be interacting. But I think there's so much disdain for the influencer, especially in this world. They're they don't even go to the shows. They don't even go see they're not here for the music. And it's who cares? We're at a festival. This isn't real. Yeah. You know?
I mean, I think Coachella is the most vapid of the festivals. You're not at it's not even Warped Tour. You know what I mean? Coachella is known to be a C&B scene, street style, you know. The music is so secondary to the looking hot and stuff. But I will say, as far as the influencer thing goes, I think it's not just influencers, but it's influencer behavior of regular people, because that was one thing that really turned me off when I went to the festivals, just being somewhere where everyone's creating content around you and you feel a little bit can you guys just be living? Can you actually just watch the show? You know, or can you not be in the way right here? We're all here together, but you're acting it's just you and your friend taking outfit photos and it's obnoxious.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's, I don't know. There's just so much to it. But yeah, I mean, also the lineup this year is very different. I don't know if I'm just getting old, but I don't know 90% of the people on this lineup. And that's quite surprising. Obviously I know Lana, love her. And there's a handful of people that I'm oh yeah, I'm a fan, but most of this, like, I was watching the live stream and for like 4 hours there was like no one on any stage that I recognized. I was like, what the hell? So yeah, maybe that is bringing in a different crowd. I don't know.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, Lana's set was iconic. Her vocals were kind of struggling a little bit. I'm very curious to go on Twitter today and like see what everyone is yapping about with that.
I feel so bad because she's the first
an icon
thing that I thought was like, she looks skinny.
No, like the way that people treat her and her weight is like,
it's horrible.
I mean, it also reminds me of what you said. Like, we're just seeing like 14-year-old eating disorder Twitter. Like, seeing like what we think are like real people. But yeah, I saw people being like, oh my God, we have to get Lana on Ozempic. I'm like, are you okay? Obviously not. Yeah.
But yeah. No, she looked great. I loved her outfit of it's like a blue kind of like
little kind sparkly. Of like
a cottage core dress, but then with like the sparkly boots. It was fun.
No, it was adorable. The way she rode in, like my jaw was on the floor.
That's so hot. I loved it.
I think she rode in on the back of a motorcycle to Gangster Paradise. I literally I have chills just thinking about it. Like, and she was perfectly on time. I like turned the TV on at exactly 11:20, which was her set time, and she was coming in. I was like, there's no, like when I went, I remember Beyonce an hour behind. I mean, they had a crazy setup. An hour, every person is always like an hour late. So for her to start exactly on time, it's like the show has begun. Lana is here. I died.
So that is the energy I'm here for right now. I'm like really annoyed with excuses right now. Like, I don't know, something's going on with me that I don't understand, but I'll give one example. Like, I was on a video call with a telehealth call, and it was 1 hour, and we had run over like about 10 minutes. And then the person that the doctor I was speaking to was kind of like, okay, like I'm late for something. We really need to wrap up. Like, I need to get your prescription in, blah, 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 blah. And I just was kind of like, okay, I'm sorry. That's on your time management. Like, you should have at 11:20, you should have seen the clock. And then like, okay, let me get the prescription info. We'll wrap this up. We're going to have another session. We'll continue on next time. Like, it's not my fault that you ran over your clock 10 minutes. Like, I can't, I'm just like, lately I cannot stand when, or like last night we went to dinner, had a reservation for 9. They had us like waiting outside for a while for our table. I think we didn't sit till like 9:30. And then the waiter was really stressing us to order like entree, pasta and main like as fast as possible because
the
kitchen was closing, and then they were like blasting music, like, and we weren't even finished eating. Like, I would have stayed and gotten dessert, but they were making it so hostile in there, and it was like, don't have a 9 p.m. reservation if you don't want to keep the restaurant open until diners are finished. Like, I just like, I'm so irritated right now, like, with that vibe of like other people, like, not like being annoyed, but not, it's like, well, that's all in your control. I didn't do that. That's you.
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's like, you're ruining my experience. Like, am I not here? Because restaurant is for the experience and not just for the food, you know?
Yeah. I think it's just because, like, I'm taking great pains in my personal life to, like, do a lot of, like, be really accountable and stuff. And then it's like, when other people aren't, you're like, what is wrong with you? Like, why can't you, like, I'm getting my shit together. Why can't you get your shit together? You
know? Yeah. And I think that is like a huge symptom of like growing up. You're very, cause like when you're young, you're like, oh my God, no worries. When people are like, when people are like, yeah, my personality is like, if the waiter brings me the wrong dish, I'm just going to eat it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, dude, once you get old enough, you're like, why would I do that? Like, what is the point of that? You know, it's so funny the way things change. You're just kind of like, we're all doing a job here. Like, let's just all kind of, and no one's going to be offended if you're like, hey, I didn't order this.
Yeah.
No one cares. You know, it's just this like young social anxiety kind of like behavior. Yes.
But anyway, that's all to say, I really appreciate Lana being on time. I'm just like, yeah, I think I'm into professionalism right now. I'm really into professionalism.
Professionalism is in. I agree, honestly. Like, I think things are so, our culture is so casual. Everything's so casual. So when people like do keep it together and they're professional, like I appreciate this in like a work environment too. Mm-hmm. I always had a hard time with like uber casual, like office, like dynamics, like office wear. Like, yes, like love that. But like people being kind of like inappropriate and like buddy buddy. Sometimes I'm just like, I don't want to do that here. Like that's not for me, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, what else is on our docket today? Where should we begin?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I came to a conclusion on what I think, if is Coachella out or not. I guess it's just evolving, maybe. I don't think it's out. I think, you know what I think? Okay, my opinion has been formed. Coachella has been existing for such a long time, but in the last couple years, we've had like the shortest trend cycles. So people can't even wrap their head around something happening every year and people still being excited about it. You know, it's like, they're like, no, it's so over. And it's like, I don't know. It's maybe not, you know, I don't know.
Yeah.
Like, or we're all just getting a little bit older and we like, don't want to like do that physical effort that it requires anymore.
Yeah.
And like, that's also okay. You know?
Once again, every year, someone is going to be turning 26 to 27 and deciding they don't like going to festivals anymore. So it's like, you're always going to hear people like growing up and saying these things that are like, have nothing to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Coachella is like an institution. It's not really in or out or here nor there. Like,
yeah,
it's existed for what, like 20 or 30 years or something. And it will probably continue on.
Yeah. It's like having a president is so out. It's like, well, yeah, it's going to be there.
Totally. Yes. I wonder, I'm really excited to see the street style pictures. I'm curious what people are wearing this year. Cause you do get like, you're getting people from like all over the country and the world, you know, but there's definitely like, I'm sure there will be a lot of Western style.
Yeah. For sure.
But I'm curious, like, yeah, I wonder what the looks are going to be.
I'm seeing a lot of like crochet little mini shorts, like flowy kind of like cardigan with like tiny little bra top and like chains. Like that's kind of very classic, but
yeah,
classic. I'm seeing Coachella. A lot of that so far. It's funny too. Like last year I also didn't go. I had the most disgusting FOMO. I was like so upset. I like was so sad that I wasn't there. I like thought about going, but like I kept getting sick around that time and I was like, I cannot whatever deal with that. And because Coachella always makes me sick, I come back with like bronchitis. It's horrible from the dust. But this year I'm like actually excited. I'm like, I want to see the content. I want to eat it up. Like I'm excited for the people being there. I want to like live it secondhand, but I don't want to be there. You know what I mean?
That's how I feel about Fashion Week. Yeah. Especially in February, February Fashion Week. I'm like, sometimes I get horrible FOMO about Fashion Week and I miss it. But then I remember everything that sucks about it. And then I just want to appreciate other people like doing it up, getting dressed, being social, whatever. And yeah. Like, I'll just look at the clothes. I'll just look at it all online.
Yeah. Yeah. That's the era I'm in. I think I would like to return. I don't know. I feel like this whole last year I've been big flop era energy. I mean, like my vertigo, like I just like didn't go to the hair salon for like 6 months during that. I just like felt so like not a person. But watching these pop stars, I'm like, oh my God, I want to get hair extensions. I want to get a spray tan. I want to get some big ass shoes. Like it like invigorates me to like want to do that again, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And so I feel like I want to get back into that slay of it. And like that is the fun kind of part about Coachella. It's like, especially like I like moderately try to make myself look decent on like day-to-day. I'll like put on makeup to go out and like whatever, but Coachella is like you have to look your best, like you're doing the nines to like get ready. And there is something fun about that, to be like, I remember I was just looking back at some of my old photos last night and I was like, I felt so hot on that day. I felt so good about myself. I had my hair done, my nails, my spray tan. Like I just felt like so cute. And I'm like, damn, like, I think there is something to doing all of that. Like, it does feel nice, you know? I don't know.
No, that makes sense to me. I would like some reason to, like, go all out. And, yeah, maybe it's good to have some kind of every year, you know, you're like, yeah, it kind of has, like, Halloween energy in that way. Because it is sort of, like, costume. Like, you sort of know that you're embodying, like, you're not really dressing to be, like, true to your style. You're, like, taking on, like, the Coachella costume. And you're going to, like,
Yeah. Totally. But, like,
all kinds of crazy different elements, so.
Yeah, I want to be a pop star. That's what I'm channeling for the next however long this energy lasts within me.
I love that. Speaking of Ozempic,
yes,
you sent a TikTok about how it's making everyone pregnant. Well, not everyone, some people. And the most horrifying part about it is that apparently Ozempic decreases your medication absorption, which would include birth control. But that also means that, like, if you're taking an antidepressant, it's just not really being as absorbed. Like, if you're taking, like, vitamin D, if you're taking,
is there any antidepressant more powerful than being skinny?
Than being skinny? I'm fat because I'm depressed. Like, I'm depressed because I'm fat.
You're like, wait, I don't need Lexapro anymore. I'm awesome.
Ozempic is so fucking scary to me, and I really wonder. I don't think in 5 years people will be, like, using Ozempic.
I'm so curious to see what happens. I mean, obviously, like, I support people using it for its, like, intended use.
Oh, yeah, it's completely talking about in a vanity perspective.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I mean, I just heard something so chilling about, I don't know if we talked about this last time, but about a girl who, like, wanted to, like, lose, like, 10 pounds for her wedding and, like, took Ozempic and fucking died.
Yeah.
Like, you don't even get to get married. And it's just, it really makes me upset. Like, yeah, I mean, we could get into this for, like, ever, but it is just interesting to see kind of these, like, side effects coming out. I don't know. I just feel kind of yuck, especially now seeing so many more celebrities being really skinny again.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it just keeps happening. They're kind of coming out again, like, 60 pounds thinner. And I'm like, oh, God.
But you know that, like, all of those are yo-yo weight celebrities, you know?
Yeah.
And, like, this is just one of their yos. And, like, like a Kelly Osbourne or something like that. Like, I mean, I'm not, like, whatever. I'm not saying this, like, be a bitch or anything. I'm saying this, like, put it in perspective, especially as someone who has struggled with weight and has been up and down. And I'm kind of like, oh, I guess I'm just going to be someone who, like, maybe does just, like, go up and down in life. But for it's like, yeah, Kelly Osbourne, like, I, you know, I'm sure that we'll see her at another size in the future, because there's only so long that these, like, these are, like, extreme measures. And I, like, I just really don't think, like, Ozempic is so new, and I don't care if it's FDA approved. Like, the FDA does all kinds of shit. Like, you know, like, I don't think that it's going to be safe long term. And I don't think people are going to be using this for, like, 10 years, 20 years. Like,
And it's also crazy because, like, it makes you, like, it cuts your appetite down. And I'm like, this is obviously intended for people that are eating, like, 5,000 calories a day and, like, going way overboard, like, binge eating, whatever, and to get them to come down to, like, what they normally need. But if you take someone like a celebrity that's probably only eating, like, 2,000, 1,500 calories, like, they are now getting less calories in than a fucking toddler. And so, and they're eating, like, one meal a day. I'm like, that is, like, anorexia. And, like, we know how bad anorexia is for your health. Apparently, anorexia is, like, one of the number one, like, killers among, like, young women, like, health-wise. It's, like, so crazy. And also, you gain weight after, because your body, like, doesn't want to be that thin. That, like, makes your body feel like it doesn't have enough to work with, you know? So it's just, like, I don't know.
I've heard it just makes you kind of, like, low-grade nauseous all the time.
No.
And I'm just like, I don't want to live with like a tummy, like feeling like a little bit like I'm going to puke like all the time. And it basically takes like all joy out of eating. And yeah, you can't really drink, I don't think. And yeah, then when you go off of it, it seems like everyone gains their weight back and or more. It just seems like it's like one of those things where it's just like, if it's too good to be true, it is. Like, I just think, yeah, it's too good to be true.
It really is. And honestly, like, it makes everyone think about their bodies so much more than we like already were. And like, even for myself, like, it's hard to watch. Like, it's very triggering, I feel like, for any woman. I was going to say any woman with like eating disorder stuff, but like, I had never officially had an eating disorder, and it's still triggering, like being a woman. Like, we all have that built in. Yeah, like, you know
what woman has like a normal relationship with food? I can think of like one person I know, but
yeah. Anyway. And it's just like, I don't know, it's like this obsession with trying to lose that like extra 5 to 10 pounds or whatever, and it's like, but the joy of my life is food. Like, my best memories are like going out to dinner with my boyfriend or friends and just like ordering everything that you want. And like, I don't know. I even like this weekend, I was like, okay, it's going to be raining all weekend in LA. All my friends are gone and busy or whatever. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to go to Whole Foods and I'm going to shop till I drop. I'm just going to like buy like anything that like excites me, which like is not even just like an eating thing, but also is like the economy, right? I like spent like $100+ at Whole Foods, which I normally never, but I was just having so much fun. I was like, I love this. Like, food is such a thing I enjoy. And I'm like, it's just not worth sacrificing that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. I also saw this TikTok of a woman with ALS. And for anyone who doesn't know, like, ALS is like a disease that like slowly makes you paralyzed, and it's
the ice bucket very challenge.
Fatal. Yeah, it's the ice bucket challenge. It's such a horrible disease. Like, my aunt had it, and it was very sad. But this woman, she's been documenting her journey, and she's like, her friend was like, what's the one thing that, like, you wish was different before you were sick or something? And she's like, I wish I stopped obsessing about food and, like, the way that I looked, because
mm-hmm.
the second I got sick, my doctor was like, you have to gain weight because, like, it's all going to fall off of you. You need as much, like, stuff as possible. And she's like, it's crazy that it took me literally being terminal to have, like, the best relationship with food. And that, like, oh, my God, that hit me so hard. I was like, yeah, fuck all of this. Like, who gives a shit? You know what I mean? I'm like, mm-hmm. whatever. Like, I don't know.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, people are getting pregnant. They're, like, thinking maybe there's going to be, like, an Ozempic baby boom, which also is kind of ironic because it is people trying to be skinny and then you just become pregnant. But
it also worries me, like, what is Ozempic? Like, you're putting some, like, you inject it with a needle, right? So, like, it's in your bloodstream. Yeah. So that's going to, like, anything in your bloodstream is going to be related to growing your baby.
Oh, your baby's so, going to be.
What? I mean, I'm just like, what? Thing. No, like, what? But, like, it's, like, you're dropping something else in the Petri dish. You know what I mean? Like, what? And yeah. We don't know. Like, there haven't been women who are on Ozempic who became pregnant, who had children. Like, we don't even know what that.
Oh my God. Yeah. Like. We have to do a case study. Well, I was
thinking like, maybe maybe it's nothing, but like it's uncharted territory. So like, that's creepy.
I was listening to a podcast where people were talking about, I think in the 50s or something, there was like this new morning sickness drug. And so obviously like the only people taking that are pregnant women. And then it turned out all of these babies were being born without limbs. Yeah. This was like I guess a big thing in the 50s. And so, obviously, like, they had to stop that, but, like, they didn't know that was going to happen until people actually tried it. Isn't that crazy?
Of course. Yeah. That's why, yeah, never, it's like, when it comes to medicine, don't be an early adopter. Don't take things unless a whole generation has already lived and died.
Honestly, that is the best advice, truly. That really is the best advice.
Or if you're in a dire situation. But yeah,
if you're already terminal, then like fuck it. But like any other situation, maybe hold off, you know?
Yeah.
Speaking of injectables.
Yes.
There's also kind of an interesting thing that I thought would be very attention recession coded. Kind of, we talked about plastic surgery in the past and how we think the pendulum's going to swing back. But there is videos of Kendall Jenner doing kind of like a Get Ready With Me Vogue video. And she didn't have Botox in her forehead. She was moving her forehead. She had some lines that are very just like typical of being the age that we are, you know? And everyone was, I've never seen so much support for Kendall Jenner. People are usually so mean to her for whatever reason. They think she's annoying. They think she's like just a Kardashian, whatever. All of the comments were so positive. They're like, oh my God, I love your skin. I feel so happy. You look amazing. You're such a natural beauty. Like, so wow. Positive. And I'm just so curious, like, maybe her decision to like not do that, which this sounds so trivial, but if you think about the Kardashians, like, going Botox free is like a huge deal. I don't know. I thought it was just a potential sign of the times. I don't know.
I think Kylie was talking about this a while back about like dissolving her fillers and this kind of stuff, because having a daughter, she was like, I really regret all the things that I did and I don't want my daughter to feel like that. Blah, blah, blah. So yeah, that's interesting. I mean, Kendall Jenner is like, how old is she? Like,
she's, I think, my age. She's probably like 28. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So she has like, you know, the littlest, cutest wrinkle. You know what I mean? It's not like she has like deep 11s or something like that. You know, she's young or whatever. So I didn't, like, when you sent me that video, I like didn't even, I was like, wait, what? And I like watched it and I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, she's got like little wrinkles in her forehead when she like scrunches.
I think people are just not used to seeing movement in like influencers or like celebrities of her like category anymore. Yeah. Like seeing any like eyebrow movement, which is, I think, the thing that makes the most sense to me. I'm like, she is a model. Like, you need facial movement. You need like, and people always used to criticize specifically her photos for being like giving nothing because she was just like a pretty face, but she's not like serving, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah, I always found that, and like actresses, I loved being able to watch those women age without Botox because they need their forehead. It's like very expressive. Like, that is acting, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't know. It just, I guess it feels so strange how it feels like every woman above a certain age in any media, even in our real life, has Botox. So it's like when someone's not doing it, it like is so refreshing. That was like the energy everyone was feeling. It was like a sigh of relief. And I'm like, that's crazy. I'm like, I don't know.
Wait, that's funny, because another topic we're going to talk about is Sex and the City being on Netflix, which I actually have been watching Sex and the City on Netflix because I ran out of Housewives. So this is my old school.
The drip has run out.
But I've been watching it, and I'm really like, because they're my same age now, and so that's interesting, because I originally watched it in high school, watched it again.
You haven't seen it since then? 20s. Okay.
And now I'm watching it, and I started watching season 5 just because I didn't feel like starting all the way from the beginning. I wanted to just jump in like in the middle-ish, towards the end-ish. Yeah. I don't know. And Charlotte's turning 36, but she's like, I'm just going to turn 35 again. And I'm 35. So it's very interesting watching them be in their mid-30s. And when it comes to like, I've been really noticing their faces and thinking about, I'm like, with the whole like, oh, Gen Z is watching this for the first time, I'm like, I'm glad that they're going to see like what a normal aging face looks like, because Botox and everything wasn't so readily available.
Yeah.
Because it's not just that Botox became more like socially acceptable, it's that it became cheaper, you know? Like, and it became like, it's like,
there's more Botox men's spas than ever.
Botox is a market force. You know what I mean? Like, that's what it is. When things become cheaper and easier to get, then everyone has them. So
we were both being sent like coupons for it.
Yeah.
You remember that? Like, there was like, we would purchase something. It would be like, congrats, you get $20 off Botox, the brand.
Yeah.
Like, what?
So watching like Sex and the City, where like that was, you're watching like, I mean, when I look at all of those women, I don't know, maybe they'd had things done, but it's a very different era. And they look very just like normal, you know, even like Sarah Jessica Parker has like an odd face, you know,
I love her. I think she's so beautiful. Yeah.
She has a very watchable quality in part because of her odd face. Like, I don't think Kendall Jenner has like a watchable quality. I don't find her like intriguing to look at, partially because she is so symmetrical. There's nothing that makes your eye like wander, you know, like Sarah Jessica's Parker's face makes your eye wander around her face, and because it's kind of strange, you know, and asymmetrical. Watching them, I'm like, I was like, oh, I'm glad that Gen Z is gonna see what like a normal, like what normal faces look like really not that long ago.
Yeah, except there's like tweets being like, this show is so cringe. So there's like some articles that have come out being like, Sex and the City is cringe. It's like, dude, shut up. And people were being like, yeah, obviously, it's a very like realistic kind of tale of being a woman in your 30s dating whatever. That is cringe in itself. You know what I mean? Being alive is cringe. Just like,
it's also like, I'm pretty sure that any and all Sex in the City like critique has been done. Like, is there anything fresh to say? I don't think so.
No.
I'm loving my rewatch. I'm like, this show's fucking brilliant. The writing is so good. It's so fucking funny.
Yes. I have seen every single episode of Sex in the City multiple times. Like, I have to stop watching it because it's like too familiar. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I love it so much. Like, they did such an amazing job. I love these women. It's so funny. It was like, it's also interesting. It was so, like, thinking about the time that they made this, like, portraying beautiful women in their, like, mid to late 30s, single, dating and having fun and just, like, casual sex. Like, that was probably so revolutionary for the times.
Yeah.
Like, even now, like, there's just like a picture on Twitter of all of them and they're like hot little outfits. And they're like, I love that they're like 35 to 40 years old and they're dressing like this. And I was like, that is so interesting. I feel like we're not seeing that as much. When we are seeing it, it's in a very like Selling Sunset, like kind of way. It's a very different aesthetic. It doesn't look youthful when they do it. It looks, I don't know. Maybe it's just like the uncanny valley plastic surgery of it all. It's just too distracting, but it's just like very different energy. Like, they look like just like they're still in their 20s and they're just living and wearing their cute little outfits. You know, it's, I don't know. It's very refreshing and I love it. I'm very for it.
Yeah. Oh, it's been giving me so much. And I mean, living in New York, watching Sex and the City is great. When you first, I want to ask you, because I think it's changed for me, like, which of the four you like mostly identified when you first started watching it, and has that changed over time?
I mean, I was always a Carrie stan. She was my idol. Like, I even like had a sex column in college, like in my newspaper. It was called Sex on the Beach because I was in Long Beach.
That's awesome.
I loved her. So I just like, I only did like a few articles, but it was just like the best. I had like such, I don't know, I idolized her. I loved her. I loved that she was a writer. I loved that she talked about her feelings, had her little column. Because I was a journalism major, like I was like always super into that. I mean, she probably implanted some of that yearning, and also like how every like rom-com cool girl was like working at a magazine, you know. That definitely shaped me in many ways. But yeah, I always deeply identified with Carrie, and now I feel a lot more like Miranda. Like, I identify with her so much more now as I get older. Like, she's just like, before the reboot, she's just very kind of like anti-establishment. She sees through the bullshit. She's like, this is all stupid. Like, I'm kind of maybe like a more chill, optimistic version of Miranda now, but I still like Okay, actually, hold on. Carrie Sun. Miranda Moon. Maybe Miranda Rising now? Yeah, I think that's my final decision. I feel like the personality element of Carrie, I deeply relate to, just like big, frivolous, and like annoying in like so many ways. I love it. But then also, like, I still am like very serious in some ways too. So mm-hmm. What's your big three?
In high school, I was Miranda. Like,
I'm dead.
And I always had like, there was a little bit of me that had like a little Charlotte, like something about Charlotte's, like, I don't know how to put it. Like, because there's also a little bit of me that also had like, I love Samantha's like bodiness and her like, being able to just like crack. Samantha is a feminist, like in the way that she can talk about men the way that men talk about women or whatever. Like, I, her like using her, I don't know. Yeah. So both of them always appealed to me. It's so funny because Carrie was like not even like on my radar, I realized looking back. I've never even really like, it wasn't a distaste or anything. I just didn't. Yeah. I was so Miranda. And then I feel like over time, like Miranda really was like redeemed. And I felt so, I was like, oh my God, the world is like coming around like to my people. But now when I watch it, I'm like, oh my, well, I guess I'm Carrie now. Like, I'm literally a writer in New York City, thinking all my thoughts and pondering aloud.
You can't help but wonder.
Yeah, I can't help but wonder. I like am the one who doesn't want to get married, like doesn't want to have kids. Like, I definitely, yeah, when I look at where all their lives like go, I'm like, I don't like, definitely not Samantha, because Samantha's too much of a worker for me. Like, yeah, not totally. A worker.
Yeah.
Carrie's like, yeah, a little bit more of a liver.
Yeah. I have a very Carrie work ethic. I'm going to like write one article a week and think that's like, why am I not rich? Like, where's my money?
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, definitely don't want Charlotte's life. Definitely don't want Miranda's life. But I would say big three, my son. I mean, I guess, I think.
Cause like,
I might say Miranda's son.
Yeah. Cause I think like son personality, moon emotions, rising is like how you are to the world.
Yeah. I'm just trying to, I don't know. I don't know. Yeah.
So Miranda, I see that. Maybe Carrie.
But maybe rising. Son, but maybe Carrie's son. I don't know. But my favorite episode that I watched was, or my favorite like storyline that I actually really need to write something about this because it is so up my alley. But Charlotte, post-divorce, she goes to Barnes & Noble to buy a book, like a self-help book, but she's so ashamed going to the self-help section and seeing women like sobbing in there. And so she goes on Amazon and orders the book because she can do it like in private. And then it comes to her and then she starts reading it and she's like, basically is, I think the lesson of it is like the shame that she had was like steering her right all along. Cause once she actually like gets the book and reads it, she's like, this is not it for me, you know, which comes back to my like longstanding thing about how cringe is a powerful source of intuition.
That's so funny.
And you should listen to cringe because cringe is telling you something powerful.
Wait, please write that. That sounds amazing. I do not remember that episode.
But also about how online shopping can like release, can let you do shameful things that you wouldn't do in public. Like, she was too embarrassed to buy this book in front of Miranda and in front of the bookseller, but she wasn't too ashamed to order it online. So I was like, this is rich fucking territory for me. So I need to write this. It's the same episode where Miranda goes to Weight Watchers.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. A lot going on in that episode. That's so funny.
It's a shame episode.
I had that happen, I think, maybe in the year like 2019. I was like really depressed, and it was a very like summertime sadness. I was like, it was peak summer. I was like, I shouldn't be sad. I should be being by the pool, whatever. And so I went to Barnes & Noble, literally at the Grove, and I saw this book. It was like things my depression taught me, or just like something like the some book like that. And I remember just like taking it to like the guy at the cash register, who of course turned out to be super hot. And so I was standing in line like, oh, I'm gonna die. And he's checking me out. He's like, how's it going today? And he's like seeing the book, and I'm like, good.
Oh my god.
That just killed me. I was like, and he was kind of being a little bit flirty. I was like, hey, you know what? If I can still get it, great.
Yeah. Guys, maybe he was into you being a broken bird. He was like,
I can fix her. The Barnes & Noble employee. Yeah. Like, I don't know if you can.
I don't know if you can fix me, but this book maybe. Yeah. Yeah. That was funny. But I've really been enjoying the rewatch. Very interesting how little, the more things change, the more they stay the same. Like,
and there's so much peace in that.
Yeah, there is. Yeah. That's how I've been feeling lately. I'm just like, all this like doom about this and that. I'm like, I don't know. In a way we've all been through it before.
Yeah. I also feel like so much peace. Like, I guess growing up with Sex and the City, I think for me, not having a huge desire to like procreate, like, or start a family or whatever, I don't feel like on a clock in that way. And so that's nice. So it's just interesting watching these things, because I feel like we're so taught like, okay, you have to find your life partner by your late 20s so you can get married by 30 and then have babies and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, damn, you really can just be kind of like dating your whole life and like finding people that are compatible at that time and just do that for the rest of your life. Like, there's a lot of peace that I've been gaining from that, being like, who cares? Maybe you meet your soulmate at 40, maybe at 60, like nothing matters. Like, it's fine. I guess once you take that like nuclear family element out of it, you're just like, sure, whatever, you know?
Totally. I know. And that's what I've been thinking too, like watching this show and thinking about like how this shaped me like as a teen, and like gave me this idea maybe subconsciously of like living in New York and not having to, I mean, no one ever was like cramming this idea of like family or anything down my throat, but this like, oh, there's this other way to do it. And it's really interesting, because I was just thinking about how different people live their lives and how like heteroness kind of sets you, like heterosexuality or whatever, sets you up on this kind of like path that most, like a lot of people I know are kind of on, which is like engagement, marriage, babies, like typical path that has to happen, like on a biological timeline, like within a certain amount of time. But that in my life, like I've spent a lot of time with people who live like alternative lifestyles, who have created their own way of being in the world that does not have to do with that timeline, or with working conventional jobs, or having like a conventional family, or all of these different things. And I was like, man, I need some more, like, I was like, there's too many like regular people in my life right now. Like, I need some more freaks around, because I'm a little low on freaks and I'm a little high on normies right now.
That is so funny. Wow.
But it's just like, yeah, there's a lot of options. There's a lot of choice of how to live. So
yeah, I
want to live the Carrie Bradshaw way. Sorry.
Yeah. It's just nice to know you have options. And I feel like that's where a lot of that like 30 panic comes around. It's like, your life is over, blah, blah, blah. It's just like,
no, your life's just beginning.
It's just beginning. If you completely take out that reproductive aspect, it changes everything. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Not saying anyone should or should not want children or whatever, but it's just so interesting how like that is the only element that keeps people stuck, is like, oh, I should be more accomplished at this point because I want to be a parent. Or, I don't know. It's just like so interesting looking at that. I'm like, you can also like adopt when you're like 45, yeah. right? Like, I don't yeah. know. It's just if you're not so obsessed with just having your own children, like,
there's options.
Go do your, you know, I don't know. It's just mm-hmm. like, it's very interesting. So I think it is good to be surrounded by that as much as possible, whether that's media or even people probably follow influencers that are like hashtag child free, you know, I don't know. I think it's like nice to remember what is possible, you know?
Yeah. Oh, wait, I just had a thought about something. I was thinking like, kids, wait.
Hashtag child free influencers.
Hashtag child free
freaks and geeks.
I don't know. Yeah, there's no rules. No, I forgot. I lost it. Whatever.
It'll come back.
Yeah, if it's important. But yeah, I think
I hope Gen Z respects their elders when they're watching Sex in the City. They don't even yeah. realize everything has been shaped by them, like the fashion. The,
oh
like,
my God!
Humor. I mean, everything that is yeah. like. That's your mother. Show some respect, yes, you know?
I know. Yeah, it's so nice being back in the... Oh, God. And it really is just, like, it's such a good sitcom. Like, it's just, like, the jokes are so, like light them up, knock them down. Like, I love Samantha. She just delivers the hits. Like, they just...
A good 25-minute, like, episode. Like,
it's
yeah.
so, like... It's just, yeah, the writing's so good. And, yeah, just classic, great stuff. I'm trying to think what else... I've been soothing myself with in the wake of the wives.
Also, something that was interesting. Someone said that the time from now to when Girls ended or was released, I forget which one, is the same gap in time between Girls and Sex and the City.
Oh.
So everyone's now, like, we need another one. And Rachel Sennett is creating a show yeah. that seems similar. That's a lot to put on someone's shoulders. Yeah. You know what I mean? But I'm like, we are due for like an actual good show. I mean, both of those were, feel like a once in a lifetime show. So
I know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm really, yeah, once her, I feel like we'll definitely be covering her show when it comes out. I hope it's good. I
Me
like
too. I love her.
Believe in her. But I'm also like, don't know, because I don't know. You never know.
I believe in her. It just feels like, I don't know. I watched Anyone But You last night, the Sydney Sweeney, Glenn Powell rom-com.
Oh, how was it? Oh, that's the one that was like rated R and people were like, rom-com shouldn't be rated R.
Yeah. They're like, this is a hard R. I was like, why are you saying that? That's anyway, whatever. I'm like, anyway, strange phrasing, but they were really excited about that. Interesting. Yeah, it was interesting. I mean, I just had like a night at home last night in between watching Coachella sets. I was like, you know what? I haven't seen this movie. I didn't want to see it in theaters because I didn't care enough. And I was like, why not watch it now? And it was fine. Like, it had a cute ending. It was very like upbeat, but like, yeah, I just like... I don't know how we're not doing it like we used to. What changed? Why do people not know how to make a good movie or TV show anymore? I mean, we talk about this endlessly, but I'm just like, even some of the camera work, even the outfits, it's just like the script. It's like, it just doesn't hit the way it used to hit. And I don't know what was lost. And so I think like, that gives me like less hope for like new TV shows. I was like, for some reason, the way they film it, I'm like, maybe it's the camera they're using or just something just doesn't feel correct. I'm like,
I know exactly what you mean. Wait, but really quick, like, how was the rated R-ness of it? Was it hot? Was it?
I mean, you saw half a tit and you saw one close up of a penis in a comical way, like you just saw like barely the tip of it, and it was fine. They're both like naked in like a couple scenes where they're like, oh my god, there's a bug in my pants, I have to take all my clothes off and be Glenn Powell and whatever. So it's just like kind of silly in that way. I would rate the movie like a 6 out of 10. Like, it was, I could enjoy it. It was fine, but I wouldn't say like it's like a great movie. But for some reason it was like the biggest like rom-com box office hit or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm like,
Because what's it competing with? What other rom-com is it competing with? There's nothing else out there. I've been thinking about, like, the term, like, chick lit, you know? Like,
yeah.
Which was definitely, like, derogatory, like, the idea of, like, dumb books for dumb women. But I'm like, no, we need to, like, we need to reinvigorate chick lit. And we need to bring back, and they need to be made into, like Sex and the City was a book, you know? Bridget Jones' Diary was a book. And, like, we need some chick lit so that we can come up with some fresh new movies and TV shows, because we need something that's funny and personality, and it needs to have a point of view.
Can I give
one thing?
Oh yeah, go ahead.
Just really quick. One thing I was noticing on Sex and the City is that a previous guest, Magdalene, one thing she's noted in her critique of the culture, sexual culture, is that all of the sex that is portrayed on TV is, like, joyless. Like, you know, those scenes in Euphoria where it's, like, painful or, like, dark. Like, that sex is portrayed in this really, like, dark, like, non-consensual or, like, whatever, like, that we don't ever see portrayals of, like, joyful, pleasurable sex, really. And watching Sex and the City, I'm like, when they show sex, it's so campy. It's fun. You see women screaming with pleasure, and you see men pleasuring them,
and, like,
and it's silly. Like, there was a scene with Smith, Jared, and Samantha are, like, fucking in all these different positions, and then at one point there's an armchair on top of the bed. Like, it's just very, like, silly, but it's also, like, it just really, like, it made me think of her point. I was like, that's so true. That's never see joyful. One, you never really see any, like, sex. And when you see it, it's always got to be, like, twisted, fucked up, like the Idol, like, edgy and, like, porn brain. And, like, why can't we just see some, like, joyful sex?
It's either, like, traumatic or awkward, or it's, like, very romantic and, like, you know, which was kind of like in Anyone But You, they had, like, a very romantic, like, sex scene. But yeah, you don't really just see people going at it anymore, just for the hell of it, you know?
Yeah, just enjoying that. So,
and just, and also not feeling bad about it, and then being at brunch the next day, being like, "Hey, ladies," like,
yeah, totally.
Yeah, that's so interesting. I'm, like, so curious, like, what that means for us. I'm sure Magdalene will tell us. She can write her back.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. I mean, that was also funny with, like, Girls, the TV show, the way they portrayed sex was, like, so, it felt almost more realistic in, like, a gross way. Like,
yeah,
so, like, people thought it was so cringe, and it is, like, Hannah and Adam's, like, sex scenes, like, it's so hard to watch because you, like, see yourself, you're like, oh, this is how awkward and, like, weird, like, kinky stuff is, or even just, like, anything that's, like, oh yeah, I'm gonna get the belt. And it's just, like, in broad daylight, like, it's just so, like, weird.
And they're in, like,
so real.
Some, like,
yeah.
Because in Sex and the City, they're usually in, like, a nice hotel room or, like, a well-decorated apartment. And, like, on Girls, it's like you're in some, like, shitty bed, like, with, like, pilled sheets and, like, it shows, like,
and even really the camera angles, like, I think it's the first episode of her and Adam, the camera is just, like, set up across the room. There's no, like, seductress no. like angles. It's just, you're there, you just watch her, like, waiting for him to come back, like, with her pants off. She's just, like, laying on the couch.
Yes,
they capture these awkward moments. I'm like, oh god, that's so real.
It's very matter of fact. Yeah, that's true,
which I love. I'm like, that was so revolutionary. Like, I hope Lena Dunham creates stuff again.
Sex and the City, created by a gay man. Girls, created by a straight woman. Yeah, yeah. It was supposed to be about gay men, but it was still early in the culture that they had to make it about women instead of gay men. So
honestly, like, they're so gay.
I think Samantha is supposed to be, like, the gay man representative character that she can just, like, fuck and...
My mind is being blown right now because that is so true. Like, they are all so gay man coded.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I'm shook right now.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's probably, like, female writers as well, but, like, yeah, you have to understand that it's being written, like, not by a woman. So, I mean, the original book was written by a woman, but.
Yeah. That's amazing. That like puts such a new lens onto it. But yeah, that's, I love that. That's amazing.
I know, now it kind of makes me want to watch And Just Like That, which was, it was so cringe, but now I almost feel like it will like be peak art form cringe that I sort of want to revisit it. Cause when I first watched it, like that whole era of like hyper woke shows that came out in like 2001.
Oh my.
It feels like we're on the other side of that now. And now I kind of want to like revisit them because it's hard to remember what it was like. But
so bad.
It was like every single character had to be going through every single topic. It was like everyone's kid has to be like gender fluid, and everyone has to be like, develop, like changing their, develop, finding their sexuality. Like just so many like, talking points. Racism. It was
masks. Like it was just so like, so too obvious. Yeah. And I thought the podcast, honestly, Carrie Bradshaw would be a podcaster. I do feel that for her. You know what I mean? But yeah, just like the way they're like, God, these masks, am I right? I'm like, shut up. Like maybe they made it like really too early. Like they should have waited for the pandemic to chill a little bit so they're out of that bubble. Like it felt really like made in the thick of 2020, you know?
I remember what I was going to ask you. Who was like on like as a teenager and then today, who's your favorite of Carrie's like men for yourself, not just like for her, but who do you always like?
Oh, I mean, Aiden forever. I love him. Aiden was it. Like she was so sweet, so hot, so tall, built shit for her. His biggest con is the fucking dog. Like, let's be honest. Like I think women having their own dog love that, but getting like when some man has like a big dog that's always jumping on top of you, I'm like, that's my biggest ick for some reason. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, I can't deal with that. It's, there's always a third person in the relationship. but yeah, no, Aiden was so sweet. He really was so, so sweet. Not flawless, but he was like great and such a catch. And I also do think that was good for women to see. Like, I think it's really easy for women to always kind of be in this like victim mindset with dating and think like, oh, I'm perfect. All of these men are just the worst. But I'm like, sometimes you are the problem, girl. And like, that's okay. Like sometimes you will have like the perfect man in front of you and you're just going to like sabotage that. And like, you mm-hmm. need to see that. And that's okay. You know, it's like a very great reality check. Yeah, normalize female villains. We need to see some of our behavior like in front of us.
Agree.
What about you?
I liked Burger. And
how did I know you were going to say that?
I know. And then I was watching the season I happened to watch happened like to be the season that he was on, so I was very interested in like analyzing my younger self through this. And I was like, oh, no, totally. This is 100% like if I met this guy today. Spot on.
What do you think of his behavior?
With the post-it?
Just all of it. Just kind of noncommittal. Very like, yeah, Carrie. Like just very like he's there, but he's not there. He's dating. He's not dating. Like
he's like
a little loosey-goosey.
Yeah. I'm trying to think like, well, it's interesting because they have that very telling conversation where he tells Miranda that like if like he's just not that into you, like if he's not, if he doesn't want to come up after the date, like he's not, like if he's like that whole thing of like if he wanted to he would, which kind of just is true. And then Berger's actions are like kind of the same thing where it's sort of like he is a little bit not coming up, he is a little bit like he's just, I think it's like a classic case of like he doesn't want to date someone like so in the line, like he's like a guy who doesn't want to date like a fashion girl, you know, he's like your life is too glitzy.
That's so funny. I totally get that, like, and it's true, like some guys do not want that. I felt that as like a being like an influencer gag, but like when I moved to San Diego I, like, was so shocked at how different the culture was. Because, like, in LA, everyone is a creative. Everyone is doing something. Everyone has a million followers just for no reason. And then moving somewhere else and being treated differently by guys, like, in so many weird ways. I was like, I don't like this. Like, I gotta go back to LA. Like, mm-hmm. they just made it weird. They, like, either liked it too much or they were judgmental. It was just, like, such a strange.
Yeah.
Very strange. And I was like, you can't like date someone that like doesn't like your whole thing, you know what mm-hmm. I mean?
Yeah.
Even if you feel like special in the beginning, like Harry probably did, being like, ooh, I'm this shiny object. It's like, they're not into that, it's not gonna work, you know?
Yeah. But yeah, definitely was like, yeah, I would totally like this guy.
What about the
totally be
burger?
Into the
where that come from?
Jack. I would call him Jack, would not call him Burger. It's gross. Burger with an E.
Dare I say he was an impossible burger.
Yes, he was. But I guess I think they're like he's coming back and just like that or something.
Wait, I want to see him as older. I wonder if he's hot.
Yeah. Cause they're constantly like shooting on the streets and then like having, you know, it's not like leaks. Yeah. They know what they're doing. Like, yeah. Always, I don't know. I feel like I saw something about like burgers coming back.
Oh my God. What do you think of the feud between Samantha and Carrie IRL?
Samantha and Carrie. I completely understand why am I blanking on her name? Samantha. Blanking on her real name. Kim Cattrall. I understand why Kim Cattrall is, I get it. She's like, I played this role for all of these years. I've put that character to bed. I do not need to step back into that character. The movies we made were embarrassing, like, enough.
Oh my God,
I totally
the movies.
Get it. Mm-hmm. So I understand that she's like, yeah, I live in London now and I'm a stage actress. And she probably has worked pretty hard to get away from the character of Samantha, you know? So I understand like why she doesn't want to do the show. But then as far as like all the stuff about like that she's like a bitch or I don't know, maybe she is a bitch.
I think she has a big feud with Sarah Jessica Parker, like personally, like they did not get along. Which
yeah.
is really funny. I could totally see that happening. I mean, they're all actresses, you know, like
I could
they're built-in divas, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's gonna be messy.
I could see finding SJP really annoying over time and just being like, I fucking can't stand that bitch.
Can you imagine having the same coworkers for 10 plus years? I know people do that all the time, but like in a space where you're like actually dealing with like divas and like fame and like all of that, that sounds a lot. I don't know if I would be able to keep it together. Like if I feel like it's very obvious when I don't like someone. So if someone's like interviewing me, like, you know, I think there was like an interview with Miranda. Someone be like, yeah, Sarah Jessica's coming. Or there's like a way she said it where there's like, oh, like, do you guys not like each other either? Or do you think it's like corny or annoying or whatever?
Yeah, she's just like SJP, like love her, but she does. There's some like she's a different one. You know what I mean? Like she's weird. She's a weird chick. Like she does seem like I'm sure being around her weird bullshit is annoying after a while because she doesn't seem like a real person in a way,
right?
Yeah and it's probably just like it's also probably hard to you know she's the star and you're all you know you're like a supporting actress and you have to be like the supporting actress for 10 years.
Yeah, and I also think like to have the qualities to be like a great famous person, a great performer, a great whatever, you are going to be probably a bitch, probably like someone not fun to be around, probably very self-absorbed, you know? And like, I don't know. That's kind of how I felt with this whole like influencer boom kind of thing in the last several years. People are like, I'll see, you know, I can't remember if we talked about this, but there'll be comments on like an influencer's video, people being like, oh my God, I wish we were best friends. I wish we were friends. And I'm like, no, you don't. Like, you do not want to be friends with this person. Like, They will be talking to their phone all day. They will make everything about them all the time. Like, they're great performers. That's what they're doing. Like, they're, and people being like, Ariana Grande is a diva. I'm like, obviously. Like, I don't know. I'm very just like, like, these are not going to be like your best friend. They're playing characters, and they're really good at what they do, and that takes a lot, you know?
Yeah. It's like, well, I hope that my pop diva is a diva. If my pop diva isn't a diva, then who is?
Period. Exactly.
Should we end it on that?
You took the words right out of my mouth.
All right, everyone, keep divaing out there. Diva us a 5-star, diva us a follow.
Yes, yes. Thank you for listening. Let us know your thoughts on all these topics. We'd love to chit chat, and we will see you next time. Bye.